little bit of Ray. The best bits.
The Ray Foley Podcast.
Which one's Bumble now? Because there's Tinder. I'm familiar with Tinder.
Yeah.
And there's Grindr.
There is.
Tinder and Grindr. And is Grindr the same sex one?
Yeah.
And then...
Although Tinder is also.
So what's the point in Grindr then?
Well then, what's the point in having different apps altogether?
So what... Do each of the apps have a unique... Here's the thing. I got married in 2007. And it seems like the minute there was a ring on my finger, it seems like as soon... I was on my honeymoon and they started inventing apps.
Is that your wife emailing you, texting
just
you right now?
She's just texting.
You shut up, Ray.
You shut up about those apps.
Those apps don't exist.
Here's the thing, though. If we had apps, you know, if my wife and I had apps, my wife would have done so much better. She would have, like, all those swipe rights she would have gotten.
You wouldn't have made it through the filter process.
I'm telling you. Yeah. I would have been on the apps. No, nothing doing. So, I know Tinder was the one, was the big one that burst onto the scene. What about Plenty of Fish? What's the unique selling point of Plenty of Fish?
I think on Plenty of Fish, you can share more details about yourself in your bio, your profile, than in Tinder. Tinder is generally more straightforward and a boiled down version of who you are.
And are there any fish on it?
No fish.
And then there's Hinge.
There's Hinge.
What does Hinge do?
Hinge is like a newer version of Plenty of Fish. And on Hinge, you could like put voice notes, recordings of yourself. And
oh,
again,
no one would want that from me, though.
Jesus, no. Not according to the figures, anyway. So you can put a lot more detail about yourself and as a result, probably get a lot more detail back from the people you're talking to or matching with.
What other ones are there?
You've also got... Well, you got Bumble.
What's the unique selling point? What are the ones that where it's like the woman is in control?
Now you're talking about Bumble.
Bumble.
You're talking about Bumble here. So on Bumble, if you match on any other app, if you match, either party can make the first move and send a message to the other person, right? Mm-hmm. On Bumble, particularly if it's a male-female match, I'm not sure what happens when it's female-female, but when it's a male-female match, then it's up to her to message the male first. So the male could never make the first move. Now, I don't know what happens if it's same sex.
Yeah, so they all have their own little unique selling point.
Correct.
It's fascinating. I'm not allowed, obviously. I suppose I could go on for the crack, like.
You could, just to see, yeah.
But I think my wife probably would have... Actually, I've never...
Why don't you both have a night where you both go on the apps?
No, I don't think that would work for either of us. This is Bumble. The story. Bumble are in the news. They have come out with their list of the dating trends that they expect to be big in 2024 based on their app usage and survey results. They've worked out what's going to be big. There's one really surprising one, but there's a whole list of them. Let me call my Bumble guy.
Oh, okay.
This is Dr. Caroline West. She's Bumble's sex and relationship expert.
Okay.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. I should have been chatting to Caroline. I need a sex and relationship expert on call.
Right.
Let me call my sex and relationship expert. Isn't my wife my sex and relationship expert?
It's ringing.
Hello?
Hello, Caroline.
Hi.
Hi, Carly. Ray Foley calling from Today FM. How are you?
All right. Good. How are you?
Good. I was just reading. Do you work for Bumble or with Bumble, sort of collaboratively, is it?
Bit of both. Yeah.
Okay.
With them.
And you're a doctor?
Doctor, yeah.
Right.
They're sex and relationship experts.
I got you. So you're their go-to person, in terms of their research and statistics and whatnot. Some fascinating research, actually, about what Bumble are expecting in 2024. Do you mind if we go through them? This is some of them are mind-blowing. Well, there's one I found interesting is that is the sport bit, that people, mm-hmm. in terms of their profiles and what they're looking for in terms of a relationship now and in the new year, is someone who is into similar interests in terms of sport.
Yeah, which makes sense. You know, it's just another thing that you can share together as a partner, you know, and with the rise of like the Women's World Cup, women's hockey teams winning gold medals, you know, there's great ways that people can explore that aspect together. So it's just a lovely way to have that exhilaration or the pint in the pub or, you know, arguments over sports, you know, I think that's important too.
Yeah, and sport, so, yeah. It does bring people together, I suppose. I was reading it more as sort of a thing like they need, if I play a sport, I'm going to insist on you being fit and healthy as well. But it could actually just be as simple as we support the same team or
Absolutely.
Right, okay, gotcha.
We can wear like matching jerseys in the pub.
Well, that's much more manageable in that case. Mental health is another one then, where 58% of singles, it says, are being more open in what they share about their mental health, and then making an effort to slow date and focus on quality over quantity of dates.
Yeah, I think that's really important, you know, and I think the pandemic has really left us in a good position on that, because it doesn't matter if someone was like amazingly good looking, if you're stuck in a lockdown with them and they're really annoying, or you're on different pages with them. So I think, you know, being open about emotions, how to solve issues, how to look after yourselves and each other, I think people realise that's actually more important than anything, because, you know, life is hard, you know, we're all trying to survive, and if people are open about what's going on for them, it makes a relationship much more sustainable.
Isn't that very healthy in this day and age? I mean, we would think it would be the kind of thing that you would be sort of keeping to yourself, or, you know, we'll see how this plays out first before we get into it. But I suppose people, particularly the younger generations, are kind of like, no, I'm upfront and this is my mental health and I'm going to protect my mental health and look after it.
Well, I think that's, you know, part of the new trends as well, you know, looking at like the generational age gap. A lot of people are really looking at younger people, not in a, you know, a sense of, oh, they're young, that's great, but that they're more open about their emotions and they're more open about their mental health. Like, look at the likes of Harry Styles, you know, he's talking about treating people with kindness and, you know, being open about mental health. And I just think that's so attractive for so many people, and especially for a lot of women, they're more open to dating someone younger than them now. So I think it's really healthy to see it's not just looks and a tick box exercise. They're looking at like how to make this relationship one that is nourishing and kind and lovely and you know, works together as a partnership.
Well, there's a couple of things that tie into that, and they're also top line results or findings that you've got in terms of next year as well. Let's do the age gap one, because that's the same to me. That was the glaring, like, oh wow, that's incredible. that age gap. 63% of people are saying that dating someone older or younger is not an issue, that the age gaps are going to become more the norm in terms of finding new relationships.
Absolutely. And I think it's great that people are, you know, tearing up the old rule books and saying, okay, well, what actually works for me? And what might have worked before was dating people your own age, but now you're like, well, maybe someone older has their life a bit more together. Maybe that's the stage that I'm at as well. So it's not necessarily getting caught up on like, you know, oh, they have to have brown hair, or they have to be age 31, or whatever specifics you are. Like, people don't fit into those gaps. So I think it's really great. And we see examples. I mean, Cher is 70 dating a 40-year-old. So, like, fair play to Cher kind of getting what works for her. And she's saying that they actually, it's not about the age, it's just that they connect on that personal level. So I think it's great that people are open to dating people that they might not have before.
And Cher is on Bumble, is she?
That's the yeah, well, there might be a different partnership there, but
yeah, maybe they met in a different way. Sure. And then in terms of, again, connecting as well to the mental health element of it, is what you call betterment burnout, which is 68% of women are saying that they're not looking at self-improvement or a partner who wants to change them. It's sort of like, take me for who I am. I'm not necessarily going to change.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's another reaction to the pandemic, not to bring up COVID too much, but during COVID, it was all like, oh, what are you doing with your lockdown time? Are you learning how to bake bread? Are you learning a new language? And it's like, no, we can actually just be and just survive, and we don't have to have all this pressure to, you know, look a certain way and to do a certain thing. Like, life is exhausting for many people. So I think it's nice that people are like, you know what, just take me as I am. This is where I'm at in my life, and we can work towards something together, or we can do it separately, or just see where we're going. And I think that's really healthy, because if people want to change you all the time, well, then they're not maybe really attracted to who you are as a person. So, you know, being in touch with our emotions is really important for this, so that we know, okay, here's where I want to be. Do I really want to be in a long-term relationship, or do I want to be having a one-night stand, whatever it is. So being able to communicate that and communicate your boundaries to a partner, I think it's just so healthy.
How did you get into this line of work, Caroline? How did you land the gig with Bumble, or how did you get the job?
Yeah. I've had a lifetime of really bad sex education and made all the mistakes possible.
Haven't
and
we all?
All the bad relationships. Yeah, and I kind of decided to work in sex education so maybe we can work towards creating a better world where people don't have to make those mistakes and we don't have to stigmatize sex and pleasure. Like, pleasure is not a dirty word, and it's okay to go and date whoever you want to date. So I'm really happy to begin this work. And while Bumble is very woman first, and it's looking at the emotional side of dating, which is so important, because vibrators and toys are great, but it's the emotional side of sex that sustains you and makes you really, really happy.
Fascinating stuff. It's Bumble. If you want to go and check out Bumble, it's on your app store, wherever you download it. Dr. Caroline West, Bumble's sex and relationships expert. Thanks so much for taking the call.
Thanks, Ray.
Much obliged. All the best. Bye-bye. Cheers, Caroline.
Oh, a little bit of Ray. The best bits. Catch Ray Foley from 2 p.m. weekdays on Today FM.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Hey.